David. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm grateful for the Spirit of God that we felt here at this camp meeting this week, and the presence of the Lord has been so rich amongst us. And I'm going to try my best to preach to you something today, and I pray that it will be a help for you. And let's see what the Lord will do for us. I know we've got other preachers that's lined up here, and my pastor, Brother David Miller, I guess this is the first time. Maybe we did this one other time in Paducah, Kentucky, a few years ago, preached together, but I'm looking forward to what he has to say, and Brother Justin here in a few moments. And one thing about Brother Miller, he's a whole lot bigger than I am, so I'm going to get out of his way as soon as I can. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. I'd like to say also, I'm glad to have my parents here this morning, or this afternoon, and Dad's had some troubles with his health over the last few weeks, but I'm grateful for the way that the Lord has helped him. Luke chapter number 5, in verse number 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I want you to get that right there. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Well, I'd like to see some more of these net-breaking experiences around here this afternoon, wouldn't you? I want to preach to you for a few moments, for the next 15 or 20 minutes, about the power of an empty net. The power of an empty net. May God bless you as you're seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of His Word. I suppose that the number one enemy that plagues the church in the United States today has been the same enemy that plagued in the days of John Wesley. It plagued the church in the days of Whitfield. It plagued the church throughout the 20s, throughout the 40s, throughout the 50s. And it's still the same enemy that plagues our people today. I received a call here a few days ago from a Brazilian pastor that pastors up in one of the New England states. And he had heard about us preaching down in Brazil a few months ago, back in February. And he said, I've been looking all over trying to find your number, trying to find your contact. He said, because I did not realize that there was any American preachers that still preached any amount of holiness. Well, I want to tell you, brother and sister, the entertainment circles that are totally controlling the majority of the church in the United States does not have the answer. How many believes that the holiness preaching, the holiness preachers that we've heard here this week has got the answer for what this world is in desperate need of? In the 1940s, an Assembly of God preacher out of Springfield, Missouri, wrote an article that really sticks out to me, and he was admonishing the Assemblies of God that, and it was trying to warn them that they were going away from the principles and the doctrines that they were founded upon. And he said, when it comes to our worship, it used to be years ago in the Assemblies that the people would worship God in a spontaneous way, that worship would fill the pews. But now, the main issue that's plaguing them, I'm afraid, is plaguing us as well. We only take our directions from up here off the stage. We only
are here for entertainment purposes. And I'm glad for good singing. I'm glad for good preaching. But brother and sister, we need the power of God to move back there in the pews on the people and let God speak to you and let God reach you right where you're at. If Simon Peter's nets would have been filled like a lot of our churches and a lot of our ministries are filled with blessings, are filled with abundant riches, if his nets would have been filled this day in Luke chapter 5, he would have never experienced the power of the spoken word of God to come upon him in his life. Preacher, there's a reason that maybe your church has more empty seats in it than it normally has before. There might be a reason, evangelist or missionary, that your itinerary book is not filled out with dates going to the next 2 years. Maybe God is wanting to take you aside and talk to you right where you're at. Maybe God is trying his best to show you that he can work through our nothingness. He can work through our emptiness. We've got to be emptied out in order for God to fill us with what we need to be filled with. Help me while I preach here this afternoon. Prosperity has become the enemy of the gospel. In any foreign nation that you go in, the holiness people that are left, the people that's trying to live by the book, will tell you that the number one problem that they have comes from the United States of America trying to push their agendas, their entertainment circles upon their people. But I want to tell us here this afternoon, it's never been by might. It's never been by power, but it's been by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Was it not Samson that as he was on his way down to the camp of the Philistines, that a lion roared out against him? And I can imagine as Samson might have been talking to that lion, and Samson said, "Hey, you're in my path, and I'm going this direction, you're coming this direction. We're about to have a tango out of all this." Samson, the Bible said that he rent that lion like you would a kid. And there was nothing in his hand. I want you to know, it wasn't that so many times we always pray for God to take the lions out of our way. We pray for God to remove the thorn in the flesh. But maybe God is wanting to infuse you with power as he did for Samson when the Spirit of the Lord got upon him and the Spirit of God got upon his hands. The Lord worked a great miracle that day. I tell you what we need. We need to empty our hands out. We need to empty our nets out and let the Spirit of the Lord fill us once again. Was it not Moses and Aaron and Hur that went to the mountain that day overlooking the valley of Rephidim? And as Israel was in war with Amalek, Aaron and Hur started noticing something was going on down there in the valley. As they raced with their chariots, as they fought with their bows and arrows and their swords, and as those two colliding armies were fighting against one another, they realized that there was something going on up there on top of the mountain, that it was the man of God with his empty hands raised into the air that was controlling what was going on in the valley below. Hey, I want to tell you, let us lift up holy hands once again. Let us lift up holy hands to God in his sanctuary. Lift it up without any wrath. Lift it up without any doubting. And believe that the Lord is going to give his people the victory. Somebody lift your hands this afternoon and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. That leads me to my text this afternoon. Simon Peter has been fishing. His career as a commercial fisherman was on the move. And they had been fishing all night long. Morning breaks through, and they did just what they have done in times past. They rushed back to the village. They run in there with their nets full of fishes to make their daily wages. But something about the night before was different than the other nights that Simon had been out there on the boat. Andrew, what's going on here tonight? We're throwing the net out, but we ain't getting nothing accomplished. Have you ever felt like that in your ministry before? Have you ever felt like that in church services before? We've tried. We've did everything we know how to do. We've toiled all night long. They come back to the shore. And I ain't got time to preach all this out here this afternoon. But there is very much dangers if we stay complacent in those shallow waters. Are you getting this? Shallow living takes place in shallow waters. Carnal living takes place in shallow waters. A carnal mind cannot comprehend the things that's in the depths of God, that's in the depths of the Spirit. And Simon Peter parks his boat there in those shallow waters. As him and Andrew are washing their nets, their empty nets that day, there's a man that steps on board their boat and takes control over their own property. As they're gone, they have a visitor that comes on board that would be unlike any visitor they had ever experienced with before. It's not just your average and ordinary person that stepped onto this boat that day. There's something from out of this world that has walked into your situation, into your doubts, into your fears, into your night of failure. Somebody from a different world is now invaded into our world, and he's got the answer. He's got the message as to what we need to do. Let me tell you, brother and sister, and preach to you this afternoon, when Jesus steps on board our boat, failure's got to leave. When Jesus steps on board our boat, all of our fears and all of our doubts have got to be driven away. The master of the wind has now stepped on board. The one that walks on water has now stepped on board. The one that said, all power in heaven is given me, and power in earth is given me as well. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is on board. And when Jesus is on board, don't just make him the guest, but make him the master of the house. Simon Peter comes back and sees, who is this stranger? Who is this stranger that has stepped on board my boat? This belongs to me. I'm the professional here. I'm the one that's always been at the helm of this ship. This is exactly where people are living at, right here in the tabernacle this afternoon. You want to stay in control of these things? You want to have your hand on these things? And what God is saying is he's trying to talk to you through those empty nets so that you'll listen to what he wants you to do. Jesus says to him, Simon, I pray you to, let's push out a little ways here from this land. Let's get out of this shallow experience that's cost you a night of stress. How many here has fought those stressful nights? Master, you don't understand. We're professionals at this. We know how to fish. This is our boat. This is our church. These are our pews. These are our microphones. And this is the way that we've always done it. But whenever you're doing what you always have done, in what you've always done is not working, it's time for something to change. I want to tell you, when Jesus gets on board the boat, things will be different. When Jesus gets on board the boat of your church, though it's been a night of toiling, though it's been a night of exhaustion, when Jesus gets on board the boat, he knows where the fishes are. I said he knows where the fishes are. He knows where the revival's at. He knows where the answer is. How many throw up a hand right now and say, Jesus, come on board my boat. Come on board my boat, Lord. Direct me. Show me what to do. Lead me. Guide me out of these shallow waters. What was the answer? What was the answer that Jesus gave for this dilemma of an empty net? When prosperity is not enough, Simon Peter, the King of all ages, in royal majestic presence, is enough to fill your empty heart. Whenever a night of exhaustion and stress and more medicines and more nerve medications, whenever that is not enough, and we don't know what to do, Brother Turner, and we don't know where to turn, and we don't know where to look. Have you ever felt that way down at Butler before? Where you and Sister Elaine, and these are good godly people that sit here in this building this afternoon. I've been there. I've worked with him. I've been with him in Brazil a few times. And the way that those folks take care of Brother Burkett, God's got something special. He's got something special down the road for them. But I want to tell you, just like Brother Turner's felt this, other ministers has felt this as well, where it's been a night of exhaustion. It's been a night of stress. We don't know what to do. We're about to go haywire. We're about to strip a gear. We don't know where to turn. But then Jesus comes to where we are. I said, Jesus comes to where we are. And this was the answer for the empty nets. Launch. Launch. How many here knows the Arkansas preacher, Brother Dennis Knapp? Does anybody here know Brother Dennis Knapp? He's like the hillbilly version of Brother Clifton Gallagher. I mean, Brother Dennis Knapp, he built that great church out there at Prim, and that guy is as funny as a monkey. And he bought a boat one time, Brother Philip, and so he's going to take some of his family down to the lake on this boat. And Brother Mike, his wife, had made him some sandwiches. And so they was just going to eat their lunch there out on the water that day. And so he goes down there to the boat dock, and the man that was manning that boat dock looked at him and said, "All right, sir, that'll be $3 for launching your boat." And Brother Dennis looked at that guy, and he said, "You mean to tell me that I've got to pay you $3 to have my lunch in this boat?" The lunch, the launch. I don't know how you pronounce it, but all I know to tell you is there's a big difference in eating a lunch and launching out into the depths at the command of Christ. You know what God would say to us this afternoon? Tabernacle, it's time to launch. It's time to get out there into the deep. You've been dwelling in the shallows for too many days, but I've got better things for you. I've got better things for you. I've got better days ahead. There's another victory. There's another drought of fishes. There's another catch to be made. At thy word, I will. Lift your hands all over this building and give God a shout of praise. Lord God of heaven, I thank you, Jesus, for the spirit I'm a-feeling preaching right now. Hallelujah. Two minutes and 30 seconds. The power of the empty net went beyond and above prosperity. You see, when the lame man laid at the gate called Beautiful, and if a lot of the social gospels would have walked up to that guy and he would say, "What have you got for me? I need something. I'm expecting to receive something of you," they'd probably pull out the most gold, shiny coin they could, flip it over to that poor old guy, and he'd still be lame. But it's a mighty poor church if all you got in it is golden coins. But when their pockets were empty, and Brother Turner, when their hands were empty, they had the power of God somewhere. You know what God wants down there at Butler? He's looking for some empty hands. He's looking for some empty nets. He's looking to say to you, it's time to launch. It's time to launch. It's time to get up. It's time to go. And Simon Peter said, "Nevertheless, even though I've failed, even though it's been a night of nothing but failures, at thy word, at the word of God, I'm a going again." It's kind of like that little boy, Brother Philip, that was flying a kite. And he threw it so far up there in the air. And all them other folks walking around there in the park said, "Son, you really think there's a kite up there?" To which the little boy responded, "Oh, yeah, I know there's a kite up there." "Well, why is that? You can't see it." "Oh, I know I can't see it. But every once in a while, I feel a tug at the other end of the line." Can you feel that tug this morning? Can you feel that tug this morning? At the other end of the line, you've obeyed the word of the Lord. And we've got another windmill man right here. Praise God. And God's still working. He's got greater depths for us to go to. He's got a bigger slew of fish for us to catch. I tell you, let's take God at His word and let's launch out there into the deeps. Lift your hands all over the building. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the spirit we felt today.